coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, it was on February 10th of this year, I had some business to take care of in the southeast part of the United States, where I saw a neighbor, a gentleman who used to live a few doors away from me. And we hooked up down there. And in the process of hooking up, he said, I've got something to give to you. And I said, well, that's funny because I've got a present for you as well. This is a true story. So on the 10th of February, he arrived. Him and his wife and my wife and I, we met each other at the door. We sat down at the table, and he reached down out of his bag. He pulls out a book, and out of my briefcase, I pull out the same book. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. The book Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn, and we both laughed because. He is. He thinks a lot of Jonathan Cahn, as I do. I consider Jonathan Cahn a friend of mine. Jonathan Cahn caused a worldwide stir with the release of the New York Times bestseller, The Harbinger. And I've got The Harbinger here. I've got The Harbinger 2. Folks, I've got them all, okay? The Book of Mysteries. Yes, I'm going to show them just very quickly. The Mystery of the Shemitah. And more. Okay, there's so many. But, you know, his subsequent New York Times bestsellers, all of them, he has addressed members of Congress. He's spoken at the U.S. or United Nations. He was named, along with Billy Graham and Keith Green, one of the top 40 spiritual leaders of the last 40 years who radically changed our world. Folks, I'm going to tell you, he changed my world. As did Steve Quayle as well. And both gentlemen join me right now. I am so honored to have both of them with me. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Jonathan Cahn from hopeoftheworld.org. I'd like to consider both, certainly Steve and Jonathan, great friends of mine. And thank you so very much, both of you, for appearing. And I'm going to kick this over to Steve for the sake of continuity.
Well, Jonathan, first of all, nice to meet you in an interview fashion, but I want to thank you for Return of the Gods. I was making the statement to Doug and also on my own podcast that I consider it the most important book of the times in essence, because someone who's written about fallen angels, I Have Giants, all that stuff, you put it together from a revelatory position from the living God, and the time is now. And quite candidly, brother, I think it's the most, and this is not to pander, in 40 years of my life's work, you tied it all together, and this is Ephesians 6, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So with no further ado, I'm going to bring you on, and I want to share something. In all the years I've known people all over the world, even the Pentagon calls it the return of the Sumerian gods. About the fallen angels and the whole thing. If you don't know that, I'm sharing that with you. But I think, again, Return of the Gods, this is what people need to understand. And when I heard your word about a demon possessed using the Gadarene demoniac, it just blew my mind. So thank you. And with no further ado, what does the Return of the Gods reveal?
Well, thank you, Steve and Doug. It's great to be on. Great to be with you. Great to meet you, Doug. And Steve, to meet you and Doug, to be back. Yeah, the Return of the God. I knew I had to do this. I knew this was now. I knew this was where we are. And I knew it would be explosive, but I knew this is the word. And you know, this is basically the Return of the Gods is the opening up of a mystery that is really behind everything we are dealing with right now. What is transforming our culture? What is transforming our children? What is touching every, there's not one person who is watching this or listening to this. Who is not dealing with this right now. And so is it possible that what we are seeing goes back to an ancient mystery, of course, all revealed by the Bible, and goes back to the tablets of ancient Mesopotamia? Could the gods, you know, what we call gods, what the Bible calls gods, could they be something more than just mythology? Could there actually be something real behind them? And could there be an entities behind them? And what if they returned? What if they came back basically in full force in America, in the West, in the world? What would happen? Well, it's happening, and they have, and it's happening. And what if we could actually identify which ones are the primary movers of what's happening, the actual gods, and what can we do about it? Because, you know, you mentioned Ephesians. Well, you know, we are in a war, and if we don't, you're in a war, and you don't know you're in a war, you're not likely going to win that war. So it's to, not only to reveal these things, but to arm God's people, because if, you know, we are here, we're in it, no matter what, no matter who you are, we're in it. And we need to know what we're dealing with and also the power we have as well. So the return of the gods is opening up all that.
And again, I think it's important because the mystery of the spirits, and you can explain that because, again, we are, in my opinion, watching the total inhabitation of the United States by very evil spirits and seducing spirits. So explain that because I think it's really important.
Yeah, if we were alive, you know, a few thousand years ago, I mean, the entire world was pagan except for a little pocket of Israel. And everywhere you went, the people were worshiping gods. Doesn't matter Hawaii, Russia, you know, Africa, China, everybody was worshiping gods, which is a kind of weird thing to begin with. But the Bible actually gives them the mystery behind it. In Deuteronomy, it says, Moses says, you know, he talks about them worshiping gods, and he says they worship the Shedim. And Shedim is a Hebrew word. It's also used in Psalm 106. It says they offered their children to the Shedim. Shedim doesn't mean a mythological fairy tale. Shedim means a spirit, an entity with will, consciousness, and volition. And so what it's saying is behind the gods are the Shedim, or these spirits that they use the gods. The gods are kind of like masks of the Shedim, the spirits. When this word got translated into Greek, it became the word daimonia. It went into the New Testament, and Paul speaks about it. And if, as alluded to, he speaks about it, and he says that it says when the pagan world, when they're worshiping these gods, they're worshiping the daimonia, or the we get the word demon from it. Well, that's the Shedim, that's the demon, and these are the gods. Actually, the Greeks called their gods, they called them demons, you know, so, and they said they could be good or bad. Well, we know they're not good. And so the first part of the mystery is that behind the gods are actual spirits. They're actually real.
Well, I think, too, in Greek mythology, it's obvious the entire, their belief system of war in heaven, and then the lesser gods, the fallen angels, the fallen ones. And I think this is really important because, again, in all of Greek mythology, they were always going to statues, idols, or oracles to hear from the gods. So what's the link of spirit possession and gods and pagan civilization? And they can and you're the first guy, probably, you know, I've said this too, can nations become totally demon-possessed? The answer is, of course. So go ahead and take that on, because most people only think of the Catholic Church and, you know, the exorcism. We're talking about something that's worldwide, global, and now is manifesting worldwide and globally. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the oracles. Well, the thing is that when you look at what happened in the pagan world, when you look at you look at these oracles, the high priestess, the priestess, you see the same signs of what the Bible reveals as demonic possession. And if the closer you got to the gods, and it makes sense, the closer you got to the gods, the more there were the signs of this possession, shaking and trembling and foaming at the mouth and babbling. That's what they did. That's part of pagan worship and pagan religion. Well, these were spirit-possessed people, but it's not, as you just said, it's not just people. It's actually entire cultures can become demonically possessed. They can become, you know, actually, when you look at the pagan world, it's the same thing. You see the signs of spirit possession throughout the culture. You have signs of self-destruction, of people cutting themselves. All these things that you see in the demoniac in the Gospels, you see throughout the culture. So entire cultures can be possessed, and they were. So pretty much when you look back at the ancient world, it's a world in possession, because without God, the only part that wasn't really was Israel. And then when Israel turned away from God, then they were as well.
Well, I think, too, you know, the causing of the gods to disappear for a time, even one of the most famous sibyls or oracles was talking about they would be gone for a time, but then they would return. And obviously, you know, your title says that. So it is incredibly important what caused the gods to depart or disappear. And obviously, yeah. I've heard you, so I'll let you speak for it, because, again, it's that critical. In essence, there's nothing new under the sun, and evil now will manifest and take on a whole new, more evil, if it's possible to say that, character and manifestation through the world. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically, where did all the gods go? I mean, there are still some parts like India that never had it, and that's kind of like it was. But where did they go? Where did Zeus go? Where did, you know, that was there? Well, what happened to the gods? What happened was Jesus happened, Messiah happened. He comes into the world. This is God's presence, so he's going to drive out. That's what he did. But also, it's when now, because of Messiah, because of Jesus, it's now the presence of God, the gospel of God, the word of God is going to go out into the pagan world, into the world of the gods. You got the power of God coming to the world of the gods. You got the power of the spirit coming to the world of spirits, and you're going to have a clash. And that's exactly what you have. When you look at the book of Acts, you see these clashes. You know, the demon-possessed woman stalks Paul until he casts the demon out of it. In another city, they're going to kill the disciples because they say they're threatening our God, our goddess. You know, so in fact, the first Christians were thrown in the arenas to the wild animals, not because of culture, not because of politics, because of the gods. It was a spiritual war. It said, if you just will offer incense to our gods, we won't kill you. And so this was a clash of the gods. In fact, you mentioned about the symbol of the oracle. Actually, what an interesting thing. The greatest persecution of Christians was started by one of these oracles. She gave a word to the emperor, and Diocletian started the great persecution. And the oracle said that as the gospel was spreading, it was cutting off their connection to the gods. And then finally, the last word of the oracles of Delphi says, she basically says, it's all dried up. It's everything that, you know, the gospel has cut off everything is basically what she's saying. Well, the gods disappear. The temples of Zeus are abandoned. The shrines of Dionysus are left to fall into ruins. So the gods are gone in that sense. But behind the gods are spirits. Now spirits don't die. So what happened to the spirits? Well, spirits do not die, and therefore, where do they go, and can they come back? And the answer, the kind of final clue to set up this mystery, comes from a parable that actually Jesus gave.
Well, and again, it's really important because, you know, you talk about the keys you give in your book to unlocking the mystery is called the House of Spirits. By the way, that's the first time I've ever heard of that. What is it, and what does it warn us of? And I thank you for, you know, bringing all of us up to speed on this. It's critical. It's so critical.
Yeah, this is the issue of our time. Absolutely. And even, you know, Steve, even non-believers are saying something's going on. This is not natural. Tucker Carlson was just kind of thrown. He was saying the same thing. He's saying there's something behind all this that's spiritual, you know. Well, yeah, the thing is that the answer comes from Jesus, as we'd expect. He gives a parable, which most believers know, but they don't realize the implications or the ramifications. That is, he says, when a spirit leaves a man, it goes looking for a place to dwell and doesn't find it. It says, I'm going to go back to my house that I came from. Talking about the guy that it was got. He said, calling the guy a house. And so he goes back to the guy or the house. It says, finds the house empty, swept clean, you know, in order. Goes back, gets seven other spirits, worse, more evil than itself, goes back and they repossess the house. But now it's not one spirit, it's eight spirits. They repossess the house. And now the Lord says the latter state is going to be worse than the first state. Well, here's the thing. You know, people think, well, he's just talking about a guy. No. At the end of the parable in Matthew, it says, so it shall be with this generation. Not talking about just the possession of a person, but the possession of a generation. So as we said, you know, cultures can be possessed, they can be delivered, which, by the way, you know, the gospel coming into Western civilization was the greatest mass exorcism in human history. That's what made the West different, because it was exorcised, you know. But the warning is also civilizations can be repossessed. And that's where we are. The warning to America, the warning to the modern world and the West and the world is this. Any culture, any civilization, any nation that has been delivered of these spirits, delivered of this darkness by the power of God, the Spirit of God, if it should ever empty itself, it should ever empty its house, of God's Spirit, God's presence, the Word of God, the gospel, the foundation, that which exercised it. What it's saying is the spirits that were cast out of it are going to come back into it. And so what it means for America and the West is that the spirits that were cast out by the gospel at the beginning of the age, if America ever turns away from God, which is happening, and the West is turning away, well, those same spirits are coming back into it, and they're going to come back to repossess it. And so what we are watching now for the last half century is a repossession. And that's why it's so crazy, why this makes no sense. It's irrational. How could they do that? It's a repossession. And it's also when these spirits are pagan spirits, in a sense. So when they come back, now they have a different mission. They're coming back to repossess or possess a Christian civilization or Judeo-Christian culture and turn it into a pagan one. And that's exactly what we have been witnessing, a metamorphosis from a, quote, Judeo-Christian civilization into a pagan one. That this is a process of paganization. And the other thing, Steve, is that, he said it's worse. The latter state is worse than the first state. That means that what's coming is going to be worse than paganism. And when you look at the case study, look at Russia. What happened when it turned away from Christianity? What happened? It wasn't neutrality. They said that communism is this rational thing. It was demonic. They killed millions of their own people. What happened when the land that gave the world the Reformation, the word Germany, turned away from Christianity? What happened was Hitler happened. The Nazis happened. What happened was it wasn't secular. It was demonic. And so now it's happening to America and the West. And it's not just one political party. It's a massive movement. And so this is going to be very big. The pagan world, they can produce, produces a Nero, but the post-Christian world produces a Hitler or an Antichrist. And that's where it's going.
If I can jump in here.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I love this statement, speaking to what you just spoke about. A house that has emptied itself of God cannot remain empty. Folks, understand that. It will be seized and taken over by that which is not God. And when a civilization expels God from its midst, it never ends well. And aren't we seeing that right now? In the words that are written in this book, there's not a wasted word in here. Folks, please, do me a favor and read this book. Get yourself a copy. Get your pastor a copy. Get your neighbor a copy. The Return of the Gods, Jonathan Cahn, available anywhere books are sold. Again, Return of the Gods, Jonathan Cahn, his great, I think one of his greatest works. Back to you, Steve.
Well, I think, too, we're dealing with, most people don't understand the days of Noah, what caused God to destroy that world by flood. And Jesus made it very clear that just as in the days of Noah, so would it be in those days leading up to the coming of the Son of Man. So now we're watching a nation totally given over to paganism. We're watching the same sacrifice of the innocents. We're watching every abhorrent, disgusting, historically, we look back and we go, how could those people settle for it? Yet in America, we forsook the God of our establishment. We forsook the offer of salvation. And Jonathan, I think too, the Jesus tells us when the salt loses its savor, we become road mix. When we lose our light, the world dwells in great darkness. And I think it's really important that, if you wouldn't mind, just address that. We are in a time period, Jesus said, there's never been anything like it, nor would be again. Never. And except he shortened the days for, the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh left alive. So we used to have evil like this. I'm just putting my two fingers up. Okay, that distance. Now we're talking about an evil that Jesus said has never been seen nor would be again. Will you just address that really quick?
Yeah, because, it comes back worse. Whatever's going to happen, what's coming is worse. We have things now that have never been in civilization ever. It's kind of like paganism too, or paganism on steroids, because it is not, it's one thing to be pre-Christian pagan. It's another thing to be, when it's post-Christian, it's anti-Christian. It is anti-Christ. And that is where it's heading, because as Doug said, the house isn't going to stay empty. So, we started emptying ourselves of God, particularly in the early 60s. It became very obvious. We started taking prayer out of school, then the word out of school, and then it kept going. Well, you know, they thought, well, it's a little thing. It's not a big deal. Well, no, it's a big deal. Because when you empty the house, it's not going to sit. Something else is coming in. And so look at, we took out God from the school. We took out God from the children. Look what now has come into our schools. Look what now has come into our children. So that's exactly what it's saying. And this is, yes, it is unprecedented. It is the end times. But this is you know, it says the end times will be times of seducing spirits, you know, and we can actually identify which spirits they are.
Well, and that's the other thing that was really critical, because, again, we know in Ephesians, God reveals to us through Paul that, I mean, principalities, powers, you know, all of the different, if you will, levels of evil. And so go through that, because that was one of the things that blew my mind on your Glenn Beck interview. And also on, you know, the interview that I watched when you were just addressing the camera, you know, your own podcast. So let's talk about that. Okay. If the gods, you know, forgive me, as they have returned, I hate the word if, okay? Yeah. I'm a little more definitive. I tell people the word if is out of my vocabulary. But it is now. And so, again, people and the children of God, those who love Jesus, redeemed, are the literal family of God. They're set up for destruction unless the Lord gives them this. We know from the scripture that God says his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So by what you're talking about in your book and all your books is the preservation of God's people. I think this is the most critical time in history for these. So go ahead and let's talk about, you know, who is the possessor and what would happen as he returns. Not he's already returned, but the demon possessed nation exists and for the whole world to see. And they've seen, if you will, the measurable change in the land that used to have freedom, liberty. And I know that the Spirit of God says the Word of God says where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. So go ahead and talk about that, please.
Yeah. Yeah. If when the gods returning, which ones will they be? And the thing is that for that, the Bible also gives the answer, because when Israel turned away from God, there were three particular deities, spirits that basically took over the culture. And, you know, there were a number of them, but these were the real, they epitomized the fall of Israel. The first one was called the possessor. So in the book, in the Return of the Gods, I call it the Dark Trinity. The first one is actually his name in Hebrew means the possessor. It means the owner, the Lord, the master. And in Hebrew, it was Baal, which we call him Baal. That means the possessor. Well, he's like the first spirit that comes back to the house in the parable. And he says, okay, it's clean. Let me take it over. And this is the one that caused Israel to forget that God even existed. Actually, that turned Israel away from God, turned Israel into a pagan nation. It says Baal caused Israel to forget God, caused them to overturn his commandments, and basically paganize them. So what would happen to America? Well, here, first of all, we said, like, where does it all begin? We begin emptying ourselves of God. Well, you know, this is not going to end well. This is where it's going to happen. So early 60s, we start emptying ourselves. Baal is the one who drove God out of everything, or tried to drive God out of the public square, out of the government, out of the culture. We've been watching this spirit in our culture drive God out of everything. I mean, there was a time when our teachers all across America, secular schools, they were leading our children in the Lord's Prayer. I mean, yeah, that's a whole different America. Well, it says he caused Israel to forget God. Well, now America has forgotten, not only forgotten God, forgotten that it ever knew God. You know, we can barely imagine that other America, and that other America could not imagine this one. You know, so it's all happened. And it's a process of paganization. Every change we're watching, you know, say, well, this is, you know, enlightened. This is progressive. No, this is pagan. Everything we're going to is in a pagan direction. Also, as he did with ancient Israel, caused America to literally strike down the Ten Commandments, kind of like what Israel did. You know, we've done that. And this is this has affected us in all different ways that we can't even, we don't even fully realize. And that is that, you know, in pagan culture, well, actually in monotheism, you have one God, one truth. In paganism, you have many gods and many truths. You don't have one truth. Everybody's got their own truth. Well, look what's happened to our culture. Everybody has their own truth. You know, if a man says he's not a man, he's a tree. Well, then that's his authentic truth. You know, That's not, you know, this is wokeism, but this is paganism. And so, you know, this has affected everything. Even I'll throw in another one. I'm kind of jumping ahead, but just to cover ground. In the ancient times, it says, the Bible says they served and worshiped the works of their own hands. They made an idol and worshiped it. Well, what has happened to us? We are now literally serving the works of our hands. You know, when Paul spoke on Mars Hill and he spoke about the pagan idols, he used the word techne. We get the word technology from it. We are now serving our technology. We have become mastered by it. We have an entire generation that is serving its computer, its iPads, its iPhone. And the Bible says they become like what they serve. They become like their idol. So we're watching an entire generation become less human. They can't relate to each other while the computer's taking on the powers of humanity. So this has affected everything, literally everything.
Well, I think, too, a better word or an addendum is infected. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? iPad, you know, the Eye of Horus, the iMac. You know, so the word I, you know, I, and the other thing is that, you know, the scripture is very clear. Men will become lovers of self rather than God. The very term selfies is giving credence to what you said. Now, let me ask you this on the prophets of Baal, too. And I'm jumping around, I know, but when you saw the Archibald Baal coming through America, I believe that was a literal portal for the powers and the demons that be and the fallen angels, the fallen ones, to come into our dimension. Because in essence, when you see it, the most famous shot I remember is the Capitol building and the Arch of Baal framed through a camera lens. You know, because again, we're talking about pagan symbols. Go ahead.
That was no accident. I was there. You know, I wanted to witness it, Steve. We recorded it, you know, and actually they erected the Arch of Baal in New York City. It was on City Hall. It was the leaders of New York City with a ceremony and with the music of Baal. And even the name of Baal was there. And so, it's a portal. And the thing is that look of all the places, it's New York City. I mean, that's been a portal. That's been a gateway to almost all of these things. And the other one that you mentioned, what interesting was Washington, D.C. And when did it go there? It was erected in Washington, D.C. the very days that the hearings were on the Supreme Court for Kavanaugh. They were fighting over the issue of life and abortion. And Baal, of course, is into abortion. And so here you have it erected right in front of that building. It was facing that building as they were having the fight of Baal. Well, absolutely. And here's another one, Steve, and that is that the actual sign of Baal in ancient was the sign of a bull. And it was a molten bronze bull erected all over. When you see that, it's a sign of his taking over culture. Well, could that appear in America? It already has. Go down to New York City. Go down to where the Harbingers are. You will see a massive bronze bull, the biblical sign of Baal. Now, the people who did have no idea what they're doing, but the Bible says very clear. It's a sign of a nation that has turned from God and has turned to the gods and has literally taken over the culture. So this is affecting us in every way.
You know, one of the things, too, in research that I've been doing on fallen angels, and you're just addressing it, is one of the most pronounced ballads of a fallen one, basically proceeding with bestiality, was his love for the bull. And I think that's really important because Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil. Therefore, by extension, the control of money. But what is America's God? The answer is, he is not the God of the Old Testament. He is not Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So in essence, you know, you talk about the three, and let's go on to, you know, number two, because I think it's important, you know, this is really important. Go on to number two.
Yeah, and let me just say something, because you kind of triggered something here. You know, it's interesting because Baal was the God of prosperity and fertility. And so what do we call our prosperity? A bull market, a bullish market, a bullish economy. And that's where it was erected, right there in the financial market. And it's the same thing. And by the way, when later Baal was merged with Zeus, and one of the symbols of Zeus was the bull. So now the next one in the book of the Dark Trinity is a she. It's a goddess. It's and she actually appears in the Bible. The Bible speaks to her. She's called Ashtoreth. But this is one of the most ancient principalities. She's everywhere. You go to Babylon, they called her Ishtar. You go to Greece, they called her Aphrodite. But it's all the same principality. And this is the principality of unbridled sexual immorality without any context. It taken out of marriage. You know, she was a prostitute. She was a harlot goddess. And so think about this. Just, you know, she was actually the wife of Baal in Canaanite mythology. So you got Baal, and then you have Ashtoreth. In the Bible, it says Baal and Ashtoreth. So just like, look at the order of it. First Baal, look at America. First the turning away from God, the turning to materialism, the whole turn. Then what would we expect to happen? Then comes the goddess. The next thing we would expect is a revolution in the realm of sexuality. What happens to America? Right like clockwork, 1960s, the sexual revolution. This is the fingerprints of the goddess, because every single change is in the direction of paganism, a pagan morality concerning marriage, concerning sexuality. It takes over the culture. And what does a prostitute do? A prostitute takes sex out of marriage and puts it into the marketplace. Well, what has happened to sexuality in America? It's been taken out of marriage. It's been put into the culture. The whole culture has become sexualized. And, you know, what has happened to marriage? What does a prostitute do to marriage? Weakens marriage. So what has happened to marriage in America? It has been weakened. It's not an accident. It's been destroyed. It's been decimated. It's been broken. Broken homes, broken children. These are all the works of the goddess. And the goddess, actually in Greece, they worshipped her and they called her the great sacred prostitute. And the word for prostitute that they called her is the word porne. We get the word porn. And it's not an accident, because pornography comes from her. The first pornography on planet Earth is the literature of the goddess, and also the images of the goddess were all over it, images of naked women all over the culture. And it's not an accident. You know, the word pornography means the writings of the goddess, or the writings of the prostitute, and she was the prostitute. And the other thing is, you know, we talk about what's happened to our culture. It's been eroticized. Well, the word erotic comes from Eros. Eros was actually the son of this goddess. She produces erotica. She produces pornography. And her job is to seduce a nation through the realm of sexuality. And so, I mean, you know, it's all happening. It has not stopped since then.
Genesis 6. Folks, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, I just want to say there is absolutely no other book that I've read that explains, connects the dots of what's happening today to what's happened eons ago, okay, and why it's happening, and everything Jonathan mentioned, the return of the gods. Folks, please do yourself a huge favor. Grab yourself a copy of this book, more than one. Do it today. Read it. And you know what? Heck, if you're not satisfied, I'll give you your money back. Okay, go ahead.
Well, one of the things, Jonathan, too, I think that we need to see, obviously, pornography, porneia. I think it's the biggest marketplace on the web for, you know, pornographic websites and all that stuff. And so what we've got is we not only have the bewitching of a nation, but we have Genesis 6:4. I'm on record as saying, I know you'd agree, but human females were what fallen angels wanted to use to insert themselves into the seed of man. Fallen angels cannot be redeemed, but they tried to produce a hybrid race that somehow would, you know, get under God's radar, and won't happen. But it's interesting. Just as in the days, I mean, we know Sodom and Gomorrah, we know Tyre and Sidon, those who know the scripture. But now Jesus said this is going to be worse than anything. And isn't it one of the Old Testament prophets that says, God says, you want filth? I'll pour you out abominable filth. So we have become, the word abominable, we've become an abomination. So, you know, what does she have to do with drugs, witches, and the occult? I mean, that's really important.
Yeah, you mentioned she was, it's also a bewitching, and that because the interesting thing is that because she was the goddess of casting spells. So what you're going to have, what would you expect is that when the sexual revolution comes into the culture, at the same moment, something else comes in. Something gets revived. And what is that? That's the occult revival, right? You know, you have the revival of witchcraft, the revival of tarot cards, of astrology, of psychic hotlines, of Eastern, of New Age, and these, all that has come in. And the thing is that she was a witch. She was a, you know, she was a sorceress. She was a seductress. And so the thing is, right now, Steve, we have more witches in America than we do have Presbyterians. That is how far it has gone. But that it all happened at the same time. And by the way, she's also the goddess of intoxication. So you have also an explosion of drugs, and you have at the same time, 60, to the, we are more addicted now than we've ever been. She's the goddess of addiction. So all that has taken over our culture. These are all the fingerprints of the goddess.
Okay, let's talk about the destroyer, because that's something we're seeing the destruction of our values, our heritage, our culture, the attack on the very foundations of Scripture. I see that. I'm sure you see them too. We're seeing polls or surveys done, and it's like seriously, I consider the surveys like the angels of the Lord going into Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. And so the surveys are literally, to use your word, harbingers of the destruction that is to come. Because in essence, we have given heed, I'm talking, claimants to Christianity, to seducing spirits. And I see the denying the very Lord who saved us being more prominent, not just in, quote, Presbyterian circles, but the entire Western Christian culture. Interestingly enough, with the exception of Russia, has turned away from the living God. And the paganism, especially when you see all the ceremonies in Switzerland, the globalists, blah, blah, blah. The point is it's obvious they are worshiping Lucifer. They are worshiping Satan. So now cometh the destroyer. Take it from there.
Yeah. And one note that you said this, you know, the worst nations, the ones that are exporting all these anti-godly values now to the world are the Western nations. And America's number one, actually, in doing this. Yep. And so, but that goes with it, because what's worse is if you've known God and turned away from God, you know, then apostasy, that's worse than before. So the third God of the dark trinity is called I call it in the book, the destroyer. And because that's what this one does. This is the God or principality that causes parents to offer up their own children as sacrifices, to destroy the fruit of their womb. And it's a god of destruction. It was actually called king in ancient times, which is the word was Molech. And we know this from the Bible. You know, but this is the principality. When you look through the pagan world, this is not an exception, Steve. This is almost the rule. Pagan, you know, human sacrifice, child sacrifice is all over the world. And when you don't have God, that's what you have. That's what these demonic the entities are doing, you know. And what's more demonic than that? And the thing is, you know, when Israel turned away from God, what did they do? It says they started offering up their children. You know, when you turn away from God, it leads you to destruction. And that's what these things do. They, you know, what do they do? You know, when the spirits actually possessed a man, they caused the demoniac to become self-destructive. They caused one to throw himself in the fire. That's what they're causing to this generation. And the thing is, so what would happen now? But the only thing that has really rid the world of this is Jesus. The power of the gospel is what rid the world of killing children, you know, by and large. And so that tells you how right Jesus is, you know, but the warning is that if you take him out, if you take God out, then all these God, this God too is coming back, and it's going to come back worse than before. So what happens? Like clockwork, you got the possessor, early 60s beginning. You have the goddess, mid 60s beginning, sexual revolution. And then at the end of the 60s, you have the destroyer. All that we start offering up our own children as sacrifices. Abortion comes to America and the West. And the thing is, this is not enlightened. This is the most pagan of all acts. You know, this is actually what caused Israel to be destroyed. That's how we talk about abomination, that offering up your own children. Now, people say, well, how can you compare it? Well, the thing is, Jesus said they come back worse. You know, Israel offered up thousands of its children. We've offered up over 60 million of our children. They come back worse. And not only that, the gods are after the children. They're always after the children, because if you can destroy the children, you destroy everything. And so not only are we destroying children by that, but also this generation right now is the most suicidal generation we've ever had. Suicide has exploded. Self-destruction has exploded. Mental illness has. That's what this does. You know, you take away God, this is what happens. And I won't go into the detail, but in the book, I actually go through how when you look at the ancient sacrifices to this God of child sacrifices, the same steps, the same elements are now in abortion as in the ancient sacrifices. I'll just mention one of them quickly, and that is that which God, which children were offered up to these gods more than any other children? It was the children of the poor. Which children are offered up in abortion right now more than any other? It's the children of the poor. It's the same spirit. It's the same destruction. And again, this is what caused Israel to be wiped off the earth, the ancient kingdom. What will happen to America?
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because the best definition for lust I was ever given, I believe the Lord gave this, and it's really important. Lust is the appetite of demons expressed through humans, and the bloodlust, the appetite of demons expressed through humans, possession of humans. It's interesting that even all of the Hollywood elite and the Luciferian elite around the world are all into innocent blood. And what's fascinating, Jonathan, in Mesoamerica, I write a lot about, you know, that stuff, and the presence of just the bloodthirstiness, the most sacred drink. And it even happened to Cortez when, you know, basically he was greeted with a chalice of blood. And so now, you know, the Bible, very clear in the Old Testament, the life is in the blood. We're watching the blood of the innocents. And the Bible's very clear. The children are the heritage of the Lord. So these absolute, and this is an accurate statement, bloodthirsty. And people need to know this. The fallen angels in the book of Enoch talk about specifically, it was the fallen angel, a specific one, that taught women how to abort their child.
Amazing.
So go ahead, sir. Because, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just going a million miles an hour, and I want to keep you on point.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, there was another side to the goddess, a mystery that has transformed culture. You know, and now we see, and one of the other things I heard on Glenn Beck, and this is critical, you talked about the woke movement, you talked about the dissolution of the separate male and female and the rainbow. That's kind of three questions in one. Would you take that on?
Yeah. This is, you know, the one of the sections of the book is called The Transformer, and that is because it's one of the three that we've seen, the enchantress, the goddess, that actually there's another side to her. And this other side to her is affecting everything we're dealing with right now. And it says, when I looked at it, one of the things I do in the book, Steve, is that I want people to see it. So as I was looking at the ancient tablets and the inscriptions, I put it right there so people can see it. One of the inscriptions of the goddess, she says, I am a woman, I am a man. And here it says in one of the hymns, it says, oh, goddess, you have the power to turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man. Well, this is the principality that bends gender. The goddess was the principality that took gender, confused it, turned men into women, women into men, broke the bounds, broke the lines, confused the one sex with the other, male and female, boy and girl, basically destroying gender. And so what would happen if she comes back? Now, the thing is that this is her deeper work, her darker work, because when she first comes back, it's to take marriage, take sex out of marriage, take sex out of her. But now she goes deeper, taking sex out of gender. And that is, and so this is, if you know, she couldn't do this in the early 60s. It would be too radical. But once she starts taking possession of a culture, now you're going to see this side become the issue. And so it's exactly what has happened now. And so what? So she's going to start turning it. Well, we're seeing a spirit of androgyny, male, female. It's by the way, it's in everything. It's been moving in everything. In one of her inscriptions, it says she grinds away the masculinity of men. Grinds away the. Well, can we see that happening? Well, so we got the spirit in the culture that basically hates men, is anti-men. You know, she used to rage against men. She could never handle men because she was a goddess with male attributes, male nature. So she raged against the authority. She raged against her father, the patriarchy of the gods. And so we have the same thing now. And so we have a spirit that is to emasculate men. That's what she's doing. If a man is masculine, the culture says that's toxic. If a woman acts masculine, the culture says, bravo, this is wonderful. What is that about? Well, we have an attack against fatherhood. You know, fatherhood used to be respected in America. Father knows best. Now fathers are mocked, are hated, are seen as overgrown, bumbling children. Well, this is a war against manhood. And her job is to take men away from manhood, men away from fatherhood, men away from marriage, men away from women. And you see what she's doing to a generation of boys is she's got them into the internet. She's got them into pornography, got them into, everything is channeled where they're not starting families. They're not becoming men, so that's one. But on the other hand, it says that she masculinizes, she defeminizes women. And so it says she gives weapons to women. She takes them from men, gives it to women. Well, that's what she was. She was a masculinized woman in a sense, and so she's seeking to make modern women into her image. So what's happening to women? They're being defeminized. She's taking women away from womanhood, away from motherhood, away from men, away from it. And so all this is all part of this one. When you get this, once you see it, Steve, you can't unsee it. This is behind everything, all things that are happening. And so you have a movement of women, eight men, and women that have turned away from all these things. Now notice something else. The word for the god, these demonic, these gods is, I said, Shedim. Shedim in Hebrew comes from the word destroyer. They are the destroyers. And one of the ways they destroy is to take people away from their purpose. Once you take men away from manhood, women away from womanhood, children away from childhood, you take marriage away from marriage, you end up destroying it. And that is what we are watching.
I think it's interesting too, Doug and Jonathan, we're seeing, for instance, transgender on the front of Sports Illustrated. But what's interesting though, they only, and I don't mean to be crude, but people got to wake up. They show it. I don't know, the pronoun person. They show it from the waist up, obviously with breasts. And one of the goddesses had just literally hundreds of breasts on her. And then they won't show the bottom. Now, that's Sports Illustrated. Then today on the front of Drudge, they're showing a male I think he's like 6'2", and he's the new face of Adidas. But when you look at him, he's got a beard and he's got male reproductive organs. And they're doing exactly what you talked about in your book. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so critical, especially for those of you who have children. Train up your children. I don't think there's anything that would be more important as a foundation than understand the repaganization of America. And we're right back, Jonathan, to what you said. The end of humanity. I'm on record, okay? I've written on transhumanism. I've written on genetic extinction. The genetic annihilation of humanity. Remember this, anytime they take away from God created marriage, it's like shaking their fist. And Satan's ultimate goal, and he would succeed if Jesus didn't shorten the days, is the destruction of all humanity, the destruction of all the animal world. And we're hearing and reading that Germany, and for instance, in Switzerland, have bestial prostitute houses. In other words, they are molesting the animals. So the thing that's really critical, ladies and gentlemen, is this is why Jonathan's book, again, Return of the Gods, all that old stuff in history, somebody says to me one time, well, what does all that old stuff in history have to do with the gospel? Ladies and gentlemen, everything. Yeah. Go ahead, Jonathan, because I think that's what you're doing. You're showing everything in the ancient past. Go ahead.
I'm hoping and praying that people get the Return of God, not just for themselves, but for people in their lives, their children, the others who are dealing with this all over, and people are doing that. But the thing is that you mentioned some very profound things. The pagan world, what it did is it breaks the lines of distinction. So you have man and woman break it. When you look at the ancient, the depictions of pagan gods, you see men, you see male, female gods, joined together, just like what we're doing it now, and then even, between man and animal, as you said, you see, Baal was part bull and part human, so all these things are being translated into high technology, but it's actual paganism of the gods. And the thing is that the goddess had a strange priesthood. They were called the Asinu, and they were basically, they walked around her temples. They were men dressed up in the clothing of women, acting as women, makeup, speaking as women. They walked around. They were her priests. They walked around her temples, and parents brought their children to see the men dressed up as women in the temples. And they would perform and they would dance. Does that sound familiar? Well, we are moving all back. When you see this return, when you see now men dressed up as women being celebrated by the culture, becoming central, you see parents bringing their children, you know the gods are back. And by the way, Steve, it wasn't just that they were dressed up. It literally, the inscriptions I put in the book literally says she dresses men as women and women as men, but also it says she turns them and into. And so you actually had priests who were surgically transitioned. So they had their organs removed. They had that which affected their hormones. They were actually surgically transitioned. And the thing is, so it's back now. And it's not an accident that it's back, Steve. When you take God out, you could almost say this is going to come back when we started taking God out. And the thing is that it's not, you know, remember, Jesus said when they come back worse. You know, back then, she possessed a priesthood. Now, she's seeking to possess an entire generation of children. That's why she's confusing them in the school system. That's why she's having them mutilated. That we got an entire generation. And so again, they're always after the children. If you get the children, you get the future. And that's why we got to pray for the children. That's why we have to be strong in this. And that's why we have to know what we're dealing with.
I think it's important, too, that people understand this. They're and this is when parents bring their kids to drag shows, when they're doing all this stuff. You know, I remember the words of Jesus: it would have been better for them never to have been born than to cause these little ones to stumble. And that's what I'm faulting, what I call Christian claimants, you know, that claim it but won't stand for the Lord, won't stand for his word, won't stand for his principles. But here's what we're watching, are we not, Jonathan? We are watching the genocide of the human race, and Lucifer's ultimate purpose is the destruction of all humanity, and absolutely, God's not going to allow that. So, you know, let's talk about the rainbow, because it's critical.
Yeah, this has affected our, you know, this is not just affecting one part of our, this is affecting our entire culture. Starting with, you know, one of the things it says about the goddess is that she's the goddess of parades. She caused, and I looked at the answer, she caused men to parade in the city streets dressed up as women, caused women to parade in the city dressed up as men. She had these great parades filled with color and filled with sexual licentiousness and the bending of gender. Well, does that sound familiar? It's back. And on top of that, she had 1 month of the year which she especially possessed the culture. And I looked, you know, I looked at the writings of the early Christians because they were still dealing with this. You know, we have a short memory. We don't realize, we think this is all new. This is actually a specific manifestation of this goddess, that you had these parades. You had 1 month of the year she particularly possessed the culture. Which was it? I looked at the writings in the book. I put the witness of Saint Jerome, and he identifies it, and he calls it in Latin. He calls the month in Latin Iunium, or the month of June. Month of June, which, and by the way, she was the goddess of pride. So now you have June, it's called Pride Month. And what do you have in June? The explosion, celebration of sexual alteration. This is the goddess. This is what she always did. You know, remember Jesus said that the spirits returned to the house that it left. Well, June used to be, in the pagan world, was possessed by this goddess. Now it's become repossessed. June has been transformed. I mean, look at that. You know, and then that leads to the next thing, which is what you alluded to. There actually was a sign of the goddess. One of the signs of the goddess was actually, it says she's the goddess with rainbow eyes. It says they call her Manzat Ishtar in Babylonian or Akkadian. Manzat Ishtar means rainbow Ishtar. It says in one of her mythologies, it says she turns herself, or she stretches herself across the sky as a rainbow. And by that, she wars her war. She executes judgment. So the rainbow, it's no accident that the rainbow is taking over our culture. I mean, it's not even natural. I mean, you know, since when do American embassies fly other flags? You know, they have the flag of the rainbow. You know, since when are we flying other flags in schools? Since when do children's cereal boxes have rainbows on it? We're celebrating sexuality. Well, it's happening. It's not natural. But, you know, there's a dark secret to the rainbow. I won't go into the whole thing, but that actually, if people realize what it really means, they'd have second thoughts about ever having anything to do with it. And the thing is, because it's actually one of the things, it's a sign of her possessing someone, possessing a culture. And that's why it's happening. And I actually, in the book, I won't go through it, but in the book, I actually go through every color of that original rainbow flag. Every color is linked to the goddess, every one of them. And they didn't know what they were doing, but the spirits know what they're doing. And the other thing is that you know, the rainbow, of course, does not belong to her, belongs to God. But one of the things about this goddess in her mythology is she's the goddess who steals what belongs to other gods and uses it for herself. So when people use the rainbow, they're basically flying it in the face of God. I mean, the rainbow is a sign of God's mercy that he doesn't want to judge. And you're pushing it in his face. What do you expect to happen?
Wow. Well, I think too. If I can ask this, see if I can jump in here. As in my capacity as an investigator, I've got to ask you this. You were talking about the rainbow, but you're also talking about events. Did the spirits actually, for example, determine the rulings, the timing of the rulings of the Supreme Court, for example, and the exact times that they were handed down, whether it be the Obergefell decision or the reversal of Roe v. Wade? If you can answer that.
Yeah, amazing. Yes, they absolutely. You know, the time of the goddess was, you know, I said was June. Well, in the ancient language, it was Tammuz, which actually one of her lovers, which then becomes for us June. Well, the thing is that particularly it was the end of June was even more intense because that's the time of the summer solstice, which is linked to paganism, linked to all these things. And so when you get to the last days of June, it gets even more intense. There have been three major rulings that have transformed sexuality by the Supreme Court. The first was in 2003, the second in 2013, and the last one in 2015, which was the entire transforming of marriage. We all remember that day. Well, the thing is that the first one took place in June, last days of June, time of the summer solstice, days of the goddess. It was June 26th. The second one, 10 years later, 2013, which struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, that took place in June, end of June, last days of June, time of the summer solstice, days of the goddess, June 26th, the same exact day. The third one, which was the striking down of marriage, as you said, Doug, and that one was in June, last days of June, time of the summer solstice, time of the goddess, June 26th, same exact day. Every one of them, same exact day. And so, and that day is actually linked to the goddess. And by the way, that day, we didn't get it. We won't have time to get into it. But there was an event in New York City that basically launched this whole movement of gender and pride and rainbow. And it all took place. It was sealed on June 26th, same day. It was all linked to the goddess. All the signs of the goddess appeared that in New York City, the streets of New York City. Well, all these things happened. And if you remember, the day that marriage was struck down, the president, Obama, lit up the White House in the color of the rainbow. It was kind of like he was saying, here, America, I'm giving you over to the goddess. And the thing is, that night when he celebrated it, that night when he lit up the rainbows were all over America and even over the world, celebrating the destruction of marriage, that a man can marry a man. I looked on the ancient Babylonian calendar, and it says that day was the 10th of Tammuz. 10th of Tammuz, it says that day is appointed, is ordained for to cast a spell to cause a man to love a man. That is the day that marriage was struck down.
Wow. Gentlemen, yeah. we are out of time. This is unbelievable how quickly time has gone. Folks, the book, The Return of the Gods by Jonathan Cahn. Please do yourself a favor. Buy one, buy two, buy five, but purchase as many as you can. Give them out as gifts to your children, to your pastors, to your friends, to your neighbors, relatives, whatever it might be. The Return of the Gods, Jonathan Cahn. And folks, I've got something special to announce. Jonathan Cahn will be on with Steve Quayle, I believe, with the Q Files here coming up very soon. And Steve could make that announcement and post it on stevequayle.com. Jonathan Cahn, I want to thank you so very much for being part of this program. I invite you back and ask that you do come back and we can talk some more. Steve, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Steve.
And Jonathan will be on with me on my Q files on Monday, and we're going to continue on. And what I'm going to do, Jonathan, is I'm going to put up this interview with Doug as a permalink on my site.
Great.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's how important this is.
Amen.
And that's how late it is. Blessings, brother. Blessings.
God bless you guys.
God bless you both. Folks, that'll do it. May God bless each and every one of you. Again, Jonathan Kahn, his website, hopeoftheworld.org, Return of the Gods, his book. God bless.